Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today's message has an unusual title, maybe. On the CD, for those who get it by CD, it just simply says, "My God, why?" It's a question. For those who get the title this way, it's, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Have you ever felt all alone? I think all of us probably have at one time or another in our life. We felt like no one cared about us. No one. No one loves you. And I know for some people, it's easier to deal with than others. I guess maybe I'm fortunate in a way, and I'm affected by it. Sometimes I've felt lonely at times in my life, and I've felt like, you know, I was out there and no one cared. And I guess in some ways I have an ability in most cases, you know, to say, oh, well, it's their loss. They don't know what they're missing, you know. But for a lot of folks, it begins to affect you. And you say, I'm all alone. Nobody cares. And then even sometimes you feel like even God doesn't care about me anymore. He has forgotten about me. I'm left all to myself. Alone. And as you begin to feel with this way, and I want to stop right here and tell you, when you begin to feel that way, it is nothing but an attack of the enemy who has come against you, who is trying to steal and to destroy your soul by making you feel like you're all alone. And I know that there are times in some people's life they go through a situation where they truly, in many ways, are alone. But I want you to know that you are never really alone. But as we look at this message today, there's times in the Bible where people have cried out and said, and let's turn quickly to Psalms chapter 22, verse 1. Chapter 22, verse 1. And I want to read, you can follow along in whatever version you have there. I want to read from the Complete Jewish Bible. And it says this, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from helping me? So far from my anguished cries. Now for those who read it in King James, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and so far from the words of my roaring? And you say, what does that roaring mean? Well, I looked it up in the Hebrew, and it simply means your moaning, your anguish cry, your heart being ripped out, and you're crying out, why? Who was crying out here, saying, my God, why have you abandoned me? This was Israel's greatest king crying out. The king whose kingdom represented the epitome of Israel's power and influence during the nation's Old Testament history. The king who the nation of Israel still today recognizes as their greatest king to sit on the throne. The king who God said his kingdom, his throne would be established forever. The king who is an ancestor of Yeshua the Messiah and identified as the forerunner of the Messianic king. The king who was described by Yahweh God himself as a man after his own heart in 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 14. A man who was listed in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 32 in the hall of faith as a man of faith. A man that God loved. The man who stood as a young man, when the army trembled before the enemy of the Philistines, and their champion Goliath came out and he cursed Yahweh God himself. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would curse God? Do something about it. And if you can't, I will." Amen. And as a young man, probably not really all that big yet, because some of the armor they tried to put on him wouldn't fit, he says, "I'll go out. And just as God helped me when I went out and I killed the bear and I killed the lion, I'm going out in the name of God Almighty, and he is with me, and no one is going to curse my God and get away with it." And he went out and he picked up those stones from the little creek he crossed, put him in his shepherd's sling. And I kind of imagine he's getting a little twirl going on as he's walking up and Goliath is making fun. Oh, I tell you, but that was the last day Goliath ever made fun. That was the last day Goliath ever cursed God, because his life came to an end as he stood before David. This was the man who in Psalms here writes out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" So it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what position you hold in life. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. There can come times in your life when the enemy can creep in and cause you to think that God has abandoned you. There have been times in the past, and there was time in a particular church we were pastoring that we were going through a situation, and it seemed like all I had ever worked for, all that I had ever tried to do, was being stolen from me. And it seemed like in my heart I was alone. Yes, Mary was with me and she was standing beside me and giving me encouragement. But spiritually I began to almost feel alone. Like, why? I mean, we had gone to a church that had just a few members and we'd begin to build it up and it was becoming successful and so on. And then suddenly overnight, essentially stolen away. But God hadn't left me. God was still there. You know, Job, we talked about Job recently. Here was a man that was, again, God said, "This is a man that really loves me. This is a man that depends upon me." And the enemy said, "Oh, give me a chance at him. give me a chance. And sometimes I want you to know that when you are in a position and you feel like that even God has forsaken you, it's because the enemy of your soul is coming against you and he is trying to convince you that God has forsaken you and get you to turn your back and walk away from God. Job didn't do it. David didn't do it. He hung in there. He continued to fight the battles that he had to go through. Did David live a perfect life? By no means. David made some horrible mistakes. David committed some terrible sins. But one thing about David, David was a man who was able to ask God and seek God for forgiveness when he had sinned. You can read in Psalms chapter 32 and in chapter 51 how David is calling out to God for forgiveness. But yet there was that time that he felt so alone, that his spirit cried out, "My God, why have you abandoned me?" And there's other people probably in Scripture that we could share about here, but I want to share one other person with you in this message today who cried out and uttered those almost identical words. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, and also Mark chapter 15, verse 34. And if you're writing that down, Matthew 27, 46, and Mark 15, 34. King James Version, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" This is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The complete Jewish Bible, translating it directly from the Hebrew, those last words are, "Why have you deserted me? Why have you deserted me?" This is Jesus the Christ, which in Greek means the Anointed One, or in Hebrew, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, the one that God sent to take away the sins of the world. And he's hanging now on that rugged cross that we sang about a few moments ago. And his spirit is crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Even he went through that moment where that loneliness that came in, that rushed in, because you see, God does not look on sin. And as Jesus took the sins of the world on his back right there, God had to look away. But God still had not abandoned him. This is the Messiah that was spoken of in Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. I want to tie this together because Psalms and these have something together here. Psalms chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "I will declare the decree that the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee," prophesying of the Messiah that was to come. This is the begotten Son of God. That in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." This is the same Messiah. This is the same Jesus who in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, Matthew chapter 17 verse 5, Mark chapter 1 verse 11, Mark chapter 9 verse 7, Luke 3:22 and 9:35 are essentially the same words. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Yahweh God himself spoke from the heavens and his voice was heard by those standing there. "This is my beloved Son." And yet he's hanging on a cross and crying out, "Father, why have you turned your back on me?" But there was also reconciliation there, because in Luke 23:46 and John 19:30, basically saying the same thing in each scripture, "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." You see, he also recognized God had not forsaken him. God had not abandoned him. Even though there was that rush of loneliness, that rush of abandonment that flooded upon him at that moment, he knew God had not abandoned him. And I want you to know today that God will turn his back on sin. But if you cry out to him, he will hear you. If you've got sin in your life, God is not going to condone sin in your life. He's not going to pat you on the back and say, "That's okay that you've got some sin in your life. I'll just kind of look the other way right now." God does not and will not condone sin in your life. And when you've got sin in your life, it may begin to feel like God has forgotten about you, and it may begin to feel like God has abandoned you because you have let the enemy come into your life and begin to destroy you and take apart that relationship you have with God. But it's not God that's abandoned you. I've got news for you. God will never abandon you. But you can abandon God. You can abandon God. There may be times that you have things happen in your life and it seems like there's no hope. And sometimes it even seems like those that are your friends turn against you. You ever had that happen? Your friends that you thought were your true friends turned against you? Turned their back on you? Here's what the Bible has to say about that in Proverbs 18:24. And again, I read from the complete Jewish Bible. "Some friends pretend to be friends, but a true friend sticketh closer than a brother." We've all run into people who were our friends when things were okay, when things were going right. You can read the story in Luke of the prodigal son, who while he had the money and he was throwing the parties, he had a lot of friends. But it also tells us when the money ran dry, his friends abandoned him. But we have a friend in God, and he'll always be there for us if we'll let him. But you see, the key to that thing is we've got to let God into our life. We've got to let him change our situation. We've got to let him comfort us If we turn our back and we walk away and say, I don't want to have anything to do with him, or I don't want to do this or that, then we can turn on our back on, and yes, we'll feel abandoned, but it's us that did the abandoning. It's us that walked away. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 reads, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I looked this up in a couple of other translations, looked it up in the Greek, looked it up in the Hebrew, and reading it from the Complete Jewish Bible, here's how it reads. I think it makes it a little more clear. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be satisfied with what you have, for God himself has said, I will never fail you or abandon you. This is the words of God. I will never abandon you. And some will say, well, what's the deal about money in there and all this covenant? If you look that up in the Greek or the Hebrew, it calls it filthy lucre. It's what it translates out as in some ways the word translate there. The money. And you know what? A lot of the problems that get us into trouble and get us even into trouble with God has to do with money. In fact, actually, they're two of the biggest problems in our life, and some people blush when I say this, but two of the biggest problems we run into in our relationship with God and the things that cause problems in our life is money and sex. And there's nothing wrong with either one when it's in the right relationship. But we get into relationships and we get into things we don't belong in, or we get into money situations where we don't belong, and we get in over our heads sometimes because we tried to play Mr. Big Shot or things like that. We begin to feel abandoned. But God has said, if you'll turn your life over to me, I will never fail you or abandon you. As I said, the Greek word used for covetousness can be translated not greedy or filthy lucre. And that's one of the things that gets us into some of these problems sometimes. But in closing today, I want you to know that wherever you are, or whoever you are, God loves you. And he loves you with a love that is beyond our comprehension. You know, the English language has a lot of words, but there are some words that it really needs more of those words to describe things. And one of the things that we have trouble with sometimes is we have a word called love. By the way, love is a four-letter word. Okay? And sometimes it can get us into trouble. But we have just a word, love. But in the Greek, there were several words for love, and they had to do with different types of love. And when we begin to understand those, we realize there's a word in the Greek there that talks about a love that can only come from God. And it's a love that man himself cannot generate. It's a love that only God can generate. And that is the love that God loves you and I with. That love that's beyond our comprehension. We really have trouble understanding how much God loves us. First John chapter 4, verse 8, reading from the Complete Jewish Bible. Those who do not love do not know God, because God is love. I want to point out something right here, and this wasn't part of my message originally, but I want to point it out right now, because we talk about all these other religions, and Larry mentioned earlier about the war against some religious symbols. I got news for you. There's only one religious symbol or two, a couple that there's a war against, and that's the Christian symbols. It can be any other kind of religious symbol except the Christian symbols, the cross and some of the things like that, and that's where the war is at. But I got news for you. You go and you examine these other religions, these other quote-unquote gods, and they're not gods of love. You read, and they're gods of hatred. And they're gods that if you make the least little mistake, they're going to squash you like a bug. But Yahweh God is a God of love and mercy. And maybe you make mistakes, and we all make mistakes in our life. You can come to him and say, Father, I messed up. I sinned. Whatever it was, please forgive me. And that love, he will forgive you. We often talk about the relationship as Christians between us and God as a parent-child relationship. And just as you as parents, when your kids make a mistake, and they can sometimes make you pretty angry when they make some of those stupid mistakes that they make. And our parents probably thought the same way about us, you know. So it just is a never-ending cycle there. But because of that love, we still forgive them. Dad, I took your car out for a little spin. I know I don't have a driver's license or insurance. And now the whole front end is gone. You want to catch them and put your loving hands around their neck and squeeze tightly. You know, that's what emotion may come in your heart right then. But you say, well, we'll work it out somehow. We'll work it out. Because that love is there. You're not going to say, I cast you out of my life forever. Don't let me ever see your face again. But that love is there. And that forgiveness is there. I hope nobody's done what I just said. Yeah, well. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He gave his life as the sacrifice for your sins on the cross of Calvary while you were still a sinner. And let's face it, if we're honest, some people are worse sinners than others. I grew up in church. I didn't do all the things a lot of people did, but I was still a sinner. And there are other people who have done everything under the sun that is a sin. And some people look, well, you know, maybe God died for Ken because he was a nice kid and all that, and he didn't do all this stuff. But Bob over there, man, Bob was as dirty, rotten as you can get. God didn't die for him because, man, he's too bad. I got news for you. Jesus died for all of us. Amen. I don't care how horrible, how terrible a situation you got yourself into. I don't care if you've once walked with God and you've turned your back and you've walked away and you've abandoned God and you've went out and got yourself into some fixes you shouldn't be in. If you'll say, God, forgive me. He's ready. He's waiting. He's never left. He's still there. Father, I come before you right now and I just pray, Father, as this message goes out, Father, there are some who will hear this message that need Jesus Christ in their heart today. there are some that will hear this message that they're going through times in their life when they feel like no one loves them or cares about them. Father, I pray right now that you would speak to their heart. Let the Holy Spirit begin to deal with them, Father. And Father, that those that need Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would call out and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And that they would ask Jesus Christ into their heart and life. And Father, some who are Christians that might hear this message, that the enemy has come against them and they're feeling all alone, they're feeling abandoned. Father, that the Holy Spirit would bring comfort into their heart and into their life today. And Father, that they would realize that they are not alone, that you still love them. And Father, wherever this goes, some folks will pass this message on to others. So Father, wherever it goes, Father, let the Holy Spirit speak to hearts as they hear these words, whether it be today, tomorrow, or in days to come. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.